September 14th. The dreams I have had here are utterly different from the dreams I used to have in Pittsburgh, right from the outset. So different, in fact. Very dynamic, action-packed, suspenseful, vividly colorful, full of characters I either knew very intimately or not at all. Then I wondered for a while whether someone else's dreams were streaming into my head while I slept, some wire having gotten crossed while I was flying over Ohio on my way here, another guy out there, now dreaming my dreams, wondering, WTF? Last night's dream was a good example. I won't go into all the details of it, because translated into a narrative, they will sound very mundane, boring. But the impact of the dream was sensational. Made me feel almost euphorically happy to be me, to have been me. Made me wish I had liked myself this much all along the way, which I didn't, for many temperamental and cultural reasons. But walking today, it got me thinking about the biblical story of Mary and Martha, their party, how they attended to Jesus variously. I have always been bothered by the way this story gets deployed in sermonic terms. Martha is a robotic OCD type who just does the chores associated with party making, doesn't realize how special Jesus is, or maybe how special anyone is. Mary is the opposite. She sits at Jesus' feet, lavishing her attentions on him, which Jesus accepts and revels in. I think all of that is just stupid, trivializing every character in this script down to the least common of his or her denominators, comic book versions of themselves. I'll just set aside for the time being Jesus. He is a man. I know men really well, how they think, why they do what they do. His motives in this situation are, to me, very nuanced, complex, many mutual contradictions intersecting in each moment, the way men actually are in real life, and not in commercials or sermons. I want, though, to say some things about Mary and Martha, how each, in her own way, is a wonderful presence at this event, one that would never have happened, or, more to the point, been recorded as part of the official transcript, without their distinctive modes of service. My dream had to do with me washing dishes at a party. They were piling up in the sink so quickly to overflowing, and the work had to be done. So I just started doing it. Several people I know who will remain nameless here chided me for doing this. Why are you doing this work? My answer was simple. Because I am the one who will do it. Implying that no one else there would, at least not right then, when it needed to be done. So there is my testimony on Martha's behalf. She will do it. Now, when no one else does. She, and not Mary, is the one that invites Jesus into their home. A gesture of that sort comes with a set of attendant duties, even in our own ultra-casual social culture, but much more so in hers. She puts herself on the hook for the work necessary to make Jesus feel comfortable and at home there, as we do when we invite guests over, makes it possible, really, for Mary to sit and marvel at his wisdom. Without Martha, none of this goes down. Look, for example, at the context for this scene in Matthew's Gospel. It comes immediately after the much more famous parable about the Good Samaritan, whom Jesus uses to extend the boundaries of love for others beyond the provincial territory of one's own family or tribe. The Samaritan cares for the injured man, at considerable expense to himself and without any prospect for repayment or even credit, because that man is in need, not because he is like him. He ends up doing it because he is the only one who will, right then, when it needs to be done, others just passing by. And the passage immediately after the little vignette in Martha's house documents Jesus' instructions to the apostles before he sends them out on the road to spread the good news. Basically, he says, stay at the places that receive them properly, attend to their basic needs, as Martha does for him, and get the hell out of town when they are treated rudely or dismissively. In other words, they will need a matrix of Marthas to make it possible to meet a myriad of Marys. You can't have one without the other, is basically how I see this story. Jesus, of course, is smart enough to know this. He doesn't admonish Martha for not sitting at his feet smitten. If she did that, who would do the essential work after all? He admonishes her, I think, for feeling resentful toward Mary about being stuck with the role she implicitly chose by inviting him in the first place. His implied message is not to be someone else in this scene, but to become more fully herself, humbler and happier, to do the work serenely because she said, "I will." What I understood from my dream is that even if you get no credit for this kind of service, and it's a very legitimate kind of service, humble service, the very kind of service Jesus engages in out there in the world, the very reason, in fact, that he is grateful to have Mary's attention lavished on him for this rare moment, don't complain, resent, fume. True love expresses itself in many forms, from attendance to adulation. But it can't be true unless it is done under the aegis of a firm, clean, "I will." It is actually the first kind of service, the humble kind, that brings Jesus to his terrible fate, his destiny. Yes, the Romans and Pharisees may be resentful toward him, even afraid of him, because others lavish their attention on him instead of them. It is, after all, the weird procession on a donkey the Sunday before he is crucified that seems to congeal their fury. But it is the quiet Jesus, the one who serves, who most subverts the established social order. Look, for example, at what Gandhi accomplished more decidedly by doing next to nothing threatening in a similar matter, somehow surviving it. Maybe because West is not East. I could explain what I mean by that, but if you're curious, read the Old Testament. Then read the Upanishads. You'll see what I mean. Jesus becomes Christ, not in a moment of idolization, but from all those other moments where he is doing his chores in and for others out there in a world that could care less, most often, about any of them or that. At one juncture of the dream, dishes piling up faster than I can wash them, I long for someone to say, "Thank you, good job." Instead, someone says crassly, "I'll tell you when you do a good job, when you've done a good job," which I took to mean, after all the dishes were clean, or never, just never good enough. Such compliments after the fact are, of course, both warranted and appreciated. But that is not when people most want or need them. It is in the midst of that work, that service, fully cognizant of all that is being forsaken on its behalf, that such support is most welcome. That is what Martha does for Jesus. She tells him, through her service, what a wonderful gift he has been right there in the midst of his own service. Mary does too, of course, and that's a lot more fun to imagine and witness. But not more important. Not more important. I hope I remember that.